So we know that when the Magi had concluded their visit, that they're warned in a dream. They're warned in a dream, and then how could it have played out? I think there might have been some alternatives to what happened. Maybe it might have happened like this. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they created a covert plan and instead infiltrated Herod's palace and took out the tyrant. Okay, well, one option. Maybe another might be, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they organized a ragtag band of shepherds and lowlifes and trained them into a movement against all the odds. They overthrew Herod and cleared the way for Jesus. Okay, another option. Or maybe it could have been like this. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they started an information operation against or with the troubled people of Jerusalem, you know, to expose Herod and his wickedness and establish Jesus instead as the people's choice, 5-star rating, right? Now, these are more like the 2023 versions of how the mission of the Magi should have concluded, you know, and maybe it sounds concocted by Hollywood, or maybe it's also more of where our own imagination, our own preferences seem to go about how problems need to get solved. Instead, what we hear happened is, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. What? They're just done? That's it? All they need to do is just leave by another way? You know, they couldn't have even left their camels, maybe, for Jesus and the Holy Family to get to Egypt more easily than the donkey they were stuck with. Rather, according to God's wisdom, their role is concluded in the unfolding and the manifesting of Jesus' life. The Holy Family themselves will have to evade Herod and escape him. And then in Egypt, they themselves will simply have to wait him out until he dies, waiting years for this whole problem to be resolved. For us action-oriented and results-expecting people, you know, when you sit back and look at how this kind of played out, you may look at it and think, this all seems rather mysterious that it went that way, or maybe even disappointing. But God indeed had a better, a deeper solution in the end. And God's ways are indeed mysterious. Now, and yes, mysterious, but that doesn't mean unknowable. Usually, his ways and how God acts are not what we might expect, and often it's certainly not like the wisdom of the world and its plans and counsels. But the mystery of God, the mystery of his plan, it can become knowable with God's help. Though we never have it totally figured out, because God is always greater. And that's so important for us to remember that. And I think if we enter into it as children of God, as children of the light, there can be a sense in discovering the mystery of God's plan as play, as something that can be joyful if we're open to it. As it says in Proverbs 25, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search them out. There's this play of God, the God of mystery, whose plans are mysterious, who has yet created us to be seekers and to search things out. And in that, he delights. And we can delight in it as well. I remember Father Ralph Drendel, a marvelous Jesuit priest who was a confessor of ours in seminary, and talking about the mysterious ways of the Lord, would sometimes refer to him, with all due reverence, would refer to the Lord as Tricky Yahweh, because of all the mysterious ways, the subtle ways our Lord is at work. Now, in our second reading, St. Paul, he speaks to the Ephesians about the mystery that has been made known to him, Paul, by revelation, and for which he has been given to serve that mystery, a stewardship of God's grace. The facet of the mystery of God's plan that, that he was sharing with the Ephesians and with us is that astounding reality that you are part of God's plans. As he says, the Gentiles, so that's all of us, all the nations beyond the Jews, are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What a stunning change and transformation. For so long, God seeking to make Israel a people set apart uniquely, peculiarly his own. But now, doing that to show that in the end, it's to draw in all the nations through the Messiah born of the people Israel. And then this mystery, the inclusion of the Gentiles, is even part of the greater plan of God's work of redemption and salvation. And then that's even part of the even greater mystery of who God is. In the book of Judges, at one point somebody is asking the angel of the Lord what his name is. And the angel of the Lord answered him, saying, "Why do you ask my name? For it is wondrous." It's beyond you. You can't simply grasp this like some other name. Why do you seek that? And so there's this reality of the mystery of God and his ways. Now, the facet of this mystery that Paul is sharing, the inclusion, the bringing in of all the nations into God's salvation through the Messiah, you know, that's what the Magi are all about. The great gathering of the nations into salvation in Christ, that's what the Magi are kind of the heralds of. The Magi come not to save Jesus. They don't come even despite their gifts to enrich him. Instead, he is God's gift to them. He is their salvation. And so they come to adore him. Their role is to be that first drop of water in the mighty torrent of the nations of which we belong that are brought to come to acknowledge and adore Jesus Christ. And they are the first tiny band of Gentiles giving homage to this tiny infant king who is the King of Kings. And they're honored with that because they truly sought and followed and desired and adored. And therefore, they became a model for us, for all Gentiles to follow. Now, the Magi's visit, this incredible moment, the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, these momentous things, that they all happened under the shadow of King Herod, in the midst of world powers, powers of the time who seemed so much mightier on the world scale of things. And I think that's a key point for us to recognize how God was at work doing the most important things in the midst of all of that and under Herod's very nose. Because I think that helps us understand an important point about how God's mystery unfolds. It's kind of a divine preference. God works from the little and the seemingly insignificant, and then grows it into superabundance. You know, it's like Jesus talking about the kingdom of God, like the mustard seed. You know, it's that tiny, tiny little seed. God starts small so that the source of eventual abundance and blessing, that full great bush, that kingdom, the source of that cannot be mistaken. Understanding, recognizing that it comes from God himself. And so he starts with these small and improbable things. So there's no illusion that we've done it, that it's out of our greatness. But no, it truly comes from God. And in recognizing that, it in the end draws us even closer to himself. These things are so important for us to remember in our own lives. I think the Epiphany event can be such a powerful thing for us because sometimes, you know, we may struggle with the mystery of God's plan. We may look at our lives and look round about and be tempted to say, "Lord, this plan stinks. You know, I thought that the Magi should do X, Y, and Z, I thought in my life you should be doing A, B, and C. You know, but instead something totally different is happening. God and his ways are mystery. Mystery which can be revealed by him and in part understood by us, but never fully comprehended, let alone controlled. Instead, we are invited to an openness, to a wonder before divine mystery, to live by trusting faith in that mystery, because the one who has planned it, the one who is unfolding it, is the one who is infinite love. And we have seen what God can do. We have seen that first drop of the Magi, and now we're part of that great torrent of the peoples and nations coming to adore Jesus Christ. This God has accomplished. He can accomplish everything else. The Magi, then, the first fruits of the nations, they're meant to be a model for us in how they truly sought and followed and desired and adored the Christ. May we do likewise with that wonder, with that trust, following faithfully the star of God's grace in our lives in 2023. That grace, that light from God, an inspiration in our very souls to a life of always closer union with him. That is, I think, a beautiful part of the message and the mystery of Epiphany.